Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily.
Hey, Christopher. Good morning.
Good morning, James. So excited to...
No. Before we start...
Yes.
Before we start... It's really funny. You had me watch all these crazy videos of these, you know, quote, popular things, which made me feel really unpopular because I had knew nothing about these people at all. Funny thing was, on the way over here, and by over here, I mean between my bedroom and my dining room, which is where I'm filming this, I was listening to an NPR piece, and they mentioned both Blackpink and BTS, which I would have had no understanding of or knowledge of before you forced me to watch these, I'm going to call them music videos for lack of a better term. So I guess I have to thank you for educating me so I could be ready to listen for my NPR listening experience.
So we have been doing these pop subs, and obviously they're popular subjects. And we've been really talking about television shows, and we've talked lightly about some films, but we really haven't talked anything about music videos. So today's episode is going to be about music videos. And the crazy thing is that you and I grew up in what we call the MTV Generation X.
And it's hard to believe.
I know. And we, part of our culture as teens, and even as in their 20s, we would get very excited about watching music videos on the television. And that was like a regular thing. But MTV is completely different now. I don't even know why they call it MTV. And this music means the lack of music in the show, the anti-music TV show.
Well, you know, I think we need to make a caveat there. The MTV generation grew up watching videos. Well, only the rich kids who had MTV on their cable service. Jeez, man.
Well, that's funny you said that because I watched a lot of MTV, but I never watched it at my house. I always watched, I had two friends and they both had MTV, and we would sneak out of school during lunch and we would go over to their house. I know. Can you believe it? And we would have lunch at their house solely because, you know, the parents were at work, solely so we could watch videos while eating our lunch.
You can watch Kurt Loder do his little news rundown.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
We were such a cool and hip and radical generation.
Well, you know,
we didn't just have music, we had music and video.
Well, obviously, videos really started in the 60s. I mean, there's some that the Beatles did, and then they were starting to get strong in the 70s, which really was the whole concept of this whole MTV. And I think it basically was launched in 1981.
Yeah, come on. It's all about the 80s when you're talking about music videos.
Oh, absolutely.
Golden era of nonsense videos making no sense whatsoever and badly shot and trying to incorporate this new fancy computer technology with no idea of how that worked or what it might look like.
Well, making video is fairly an expensive endeavor back then. It's not considered today, obviously. But basically, I don't know, around 2008, it turned from music videos to music stuff like people dancing at spring break. And then it moved into documentary kind of, and then just made a weird turn into reality TV, and that is pretty much what it is now. It is a reality TV.
You're talking about MTV now.
Of course, still I can't get off of it.
I saw that starting in the 90s when I was at college. You know, we had a shared TV in our suite. We didn't really have a suite the way they're thought of today. Boy, these college kids have it so easy these days. No, even then it was started to shift. That's when the real world started.
Right,
that's
real
when
world.
The music video started falling off and they started doing all this other nonsense.
I will say, I think MTV really kicked off reality TV. It's just too bad that they stuck with it.
That might be true. I don't know.
And the only reason I gave the 2008 year is because that, I think, was the final conversion where, like, we are not showing we're not showing videos anymore. Well, once in a while, we'll show a concert, but I mean, that's it. We're done with it. It's all about...
It's so weird to think that they completely ceded that market. They've completely given up, and YouTube completely dominates that. They could have, obviously, very easily transitioned into being the place for music TV online, but for whatever reason, because companies are bad at being companies, I guess, they just couldn't make that shift.
No. And they had this great thing I used to love to watch, which was MTV Unplugged. So you got to see, I mean, most of them are rock bands for the most part, basically doing their most popular songs and sometimes covers. I remember Nirvana covered David Bowie, though I don't think anybody knew that the song they were doing actually was a David Bowie song. they thought it was a Nirvana song. But I mean, anyways, you could see this band that was making its way around the world do an acoustic version of their song. It was pretty cool.
That was Unplugged, right?
Is
that
yeah, MTV Unplugged.
Yeah, that was fun. I actually have a couple. I think I have a couple of albums from the Unplugged series. But you know, enough of this MTV nonsense. That is like, that's not only history, that is buried history.
That's history.
So old. So kids don't even know what that is. Let's talk about the popular stuff.
Okay, so what we did is James and I looked at what are the most popular music videos on YouTube right now. And we were very surprised how international they were.
Yeah. Keep going. Don't let me stop you.
So we named a few. And the one that we saw at the top of the list was by a gal by the name of Rose. And her video on the ground is top notch as far as being popular.
That's true.
I think you have the stats on the how many views there, don't you?
This is a pretty new video, and she already has 130 million views.
Well, what's really amazing is...
people like her. She has rocketed to the top of the charts.
Yeah, well, so what's interesting, she's very popular in the United States. She comes from a Korean band by the name of Blackpink, which you had just mentioned earlier. And it's like a Southern Korean band. But what's unique about her is she's actually... I think it's okay to say this. She's a Kiwi. She's actually from... she's a New Zealand singer.
It's okay to call people from New Zealand Kiwis because people from New Zealand are Kiwis.
I thought her video brought me... And the reason why I wanted to talk about MTV so much is when I was watching her video, it really reminded me of a Korean kind of version, a little brighter colors, of a Stevie Nicks video. A lot of... standing there singing with the wind and changing backgrounds and changing wardrobe and nothing to do with the song.
Stevie who?
Stevie Nicks. There used to be
old man, you're too old for me.
Well, being from Phoenix and she's from Phoenix, it should be part of our history.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, that's interesting though that you say that, because one of my thoughts on this video, I didn't have a lot of thoughts about this video because it's just not that kind of video. I mean, this is just straight up pop. It's bubblegum pop. You chew it, you spit it out, and then, you know, you forget about it. But anyway, it seemed like the video could have been for any song.
Yeah. Yeah. it could. But I feel like this
is actually a good cost-cutting measure. You just shoot a bunch of crazy little vignettes, and then you shoot a couple hours worth of it in one day. And then over the course of the next 6 months, as you come up with an album, you just keep recutting those cuts into different, to six or 10 different different videos.
Like they do with movies for kind of getting people interested in them. Well, I thought the production value of this music video was very good. The sound quality was great. I thought, generally speaking, it was entertaining. You had this cute young Korean girl, which, interesting enough, is singing in English. And it was obvious to me that this whole video was marketing, not necessarily to an international audience, but definitely was there. But it was definitely in the marketing area for America.
Well, I think English is the international language now. So I think if you want to sing an international song, you generally speak English. You generally pick English.
We may
prove she's a Kiwi, so that's her native language.
Yes. But she is playing in a Korean band. So anyways.
We don't say Southern Korea. We say South Korea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did say that, didn't I? Well, I thought she did a fantastic job. And I really liked it.
Yeah, the whole thing, the vocals, the recording, the video, everything was well crafted. But I just didn't see the point of the craft because I didn't really feel anything. It was a fine song. I don't have any problem with it. It's a good pop song. It sounded nice. It was not offensive to the ear. It was not offensive to the eye, but it didn't hit me in anything. It didn't punch me in any way.
Well, what I kind of liked about it had a very nice message, this on the ground thing, and which reminded me a little bit of Tom Petty. I mean, Tom Petty had this song, Stand My Ground, and this is kind of on my ground. I don't know, it kind of had a positive message. And a lot of the songs that we hear coming from the youth are either all about being sexy or all about misbehaving toward authority, which I get that's a teenage thing, and it's only interesting until you're a teenager, and then it's not interesting.
I didn't get that feeling from it. I really didn't understand what she was trying to get at with saying on the ground and Stand Your Ground from Tom Petty. I feel that song. I understand that song. This song, I didn't, you know, it's just pop song. Tom, you can't really, it's not fair comparing to Tom Petty, because I think he's one of the greats, and one of the reasons I say that is because most rock musicians that I like over the years, I almost always prefer their younger stuff, which is more emotional and a little bit more raw. And Tom Petty is one of the few artists who is able to maintain that much deeper into his career. Like, old, you know, late Tom Petty is nearly as good as early Tom Petty.
There you go. Well, obviously these are completely two genres. This is what we call K-pop or Korean popular music, mm-hmm. which is very manufactured anyways. This song, because it's kind of has an electric sound to it, I would put it into the electric pop category. Only a few years back, we used to call this kind of music synth pop sometimes. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I thought we should rate it. Do you feel like rating these like we've done in the past with the TV and movies?
I am not equipped to rate these. I really am not. I mean, you go ahead, man. This is you are the musician here, but I can't rate this because I don't have the knowledge to do anything with music.
Okay, so just to let you know, James and I either give two thumbs up, one thumb up. We don't feel anything about it. We give one thumb bad, two thumbs miserable, okay? Yeah, I thought this video had entertaining and entertainment value. So I would definitely give it at least one thumbs up. The production of the music was well done. There was a lot of copycat stuff from the last probably 20 years that was almost Britney Spears-ish. So I couldn't give it two thumbs up on the video, but generally speaking, I thought this was a pretty good video.
And I'd like to get the next one, but I do want to point, this is one of the things that confused me. I'm watching this video of a Kiwi singing, I don't know, it just seemed a little weird. There are a lot of cross-cultural intersections here, but it's a pop song, and I'm hearing, I swear, am I hearing a little bit of country in there?
Well, you know, I did too, and that's so interesting, and that's why I kind of brought up the thing is with country and pop and rock music today, if you are a country singer, these days, there is hardly any difference between the way they produce rock songs and the way they produce country songs. And so you can hardly tell the difference. It's almost like the Eagles back in the...
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. The Eagles were always riding that line. Like, is it country? Is it rock? That's how I kind of felt this.
I never felt that way about the Eagles, but I can still hear... When I hear a country song, I know the country song for two reasons. First of all, it's about the content and also the twang. And I hesitate to bring this up because it's going to make me sound even dumber than our audience already thinks I am. Yes, I'm the dumb one.
No.
About music, at least. Why is it that I never hear anybody's accent when they're singing? Like the Beatles, I don't ever, when I'm hearing them sing, I could swear they sound like they're, and what's the other band?
You're talking about a British band.
Yeah.
Like Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones is exactly what my brain was trying to come up with, but Christopher's brain got there first because it's faster than mine. Yeah, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, when I hear them sing, I'm almost surprised that they're British.
Well, we can even go to
hang on, let me just, sorry, but when I hear a country song come on, it's like, oh, that's totally country. I can hear the twang. What's going on? Are they literally singing in American, or am I just so stupid that this is just the way people sing with English?
Right. So generally speaking, when you're listening to singers, it speak English, whenever they take a note and they hold it out a little bit longer than maybe some other notes that you're listening to, some other tones, they hold on to the vowels, A, E, I, O, U, or O, or whatever. They hold those out longer. In country music, they tend to kind of hold on to what we call consonants. So you hear a lot of R's and G's, and they kind of on they hold on to these consonants a little longer, and it kind of gives it a different feel. I think that's what you're hearing. There is a pop singer. Well, there is a famous singer who actually does rock that style of music, Bob Dylan. So he kind of crosses that line where you're hearing, and I'm not saying Bob Dylan's a good singer, great writer, but you can really hear him holding on to the E's and the Y's at the end of songs. Definitely not a rock song.
You can hear an accent with him. And I think David Bowie, generally, I could, not always, but I could hear more of an English sensibility to him.
Well, I think the only difference when you listen to British singers, they seem to enunciate the words a little more clearly. Like, there's a lot of rock songs. You have to listen carefully to understand what they're saying. Most British singers, you understand what they're saying the first time.
Like Tom Petty. I don't know what his lyrics are.
Let's go to our next video. Okay, so our next video is called Dynamite. And James, and you were just saying, who's it by again?
BTS.
BTS, which is, once again, how many views are we getting there? I mean, it's big time, right?
Oh, no, this is a whole nother level, because this has been out a little bit longer. So this is 975 million views.
Oh, my gosh. Now,
wrap your head around that.
Now, you were saying this the other day, a boy band, right? A Korean.
I don't know. In my notes, because I take notes because I'm an old silly white man. My first line in this, Asian boy band. And I have two question marks in that sentence. I have a question mark at the end of the sentence because I'm like, is this a boy band? But I also have a question mark right after boy, because I'm looking at these people and thinking, are these boys? I can't tell. I don't know if they're, which gender they are, or if they are a gender.
Well, I don't want to be too critical, because we had the 80s and we had what they called big hair bands. Yep. And they played they mostly came out of Hollywood, and the men, or young men, wore lipstick, mascara, eyeshadow, had long hair. And we heard the only difference between this South Korean or K-pop sound musicians, if you will, is they have shorter hair, but it's pink. And they don't wear mascara, but they do wear a lot of blush.
Some of the hair is green. Some of it's black. They're multicolors. I have no problem with that. Honestly, though, I don't know how to sum this up. I guess this is the way to think about it. These people, I don't know. They look like they could be 12. I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems to me that this kind of band, Michael Jackson would love this band.
I think they would have an open invitation
to Neverland.
Well, the thing about this music video was incredibly produced like a cheap commercial. And it was so weird, because nobody on the planet who loves music cares who is the entertainment company that dishes the music out. And I couldn't believe at the beginning of this, they had a big thing that said Big Hit Entertainment. And I was thinking, who cares? why do you care? And then when the video came out, it looked like they were selling ice cream at first to me.
Yeah. Or it looked like an ad where it's like, insert your brand here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the word you were looking for was overproduced.
Well, the thing was, is that it was obvious to me that they were lip syncing, and I was even wondering if they were even singing English. Like, I wonder if on the album, it's not even them, it's somebody else, and they're not even quite sure how to say the words. Because I got to tell you, it was terrible. If you want to say produced, maybe, but it was very, very, it was terrible. It was
overproduced, and that everything was set up. I mean, the scenes were, I mean, if I didn't, maybe it's trying to be a parody of itself without really fully engaging the parody part. So it's like halfway there, and that's a bad place to be, because we don't know if they're trying to be genuine and sincere or if they're trying to be a parody.
I think they were trying to do this, I'm cool, I'm funk, I'm soul. But it was a bunch of bubblegum crap to me.
Well, an opening scene is a kid rolling out of bed in his, you know, filthy, disgusting room. And the first thing he does is he grabs a glass of milk and drinks a glass. What? That I don't understand what's happening at that moment. I mean, that's kind of why it feels like an advertisement, because like, is this a music video of a kid getting up out of bed, or is it an advertisement for milk?
Now, the song Dynamite is the one we're talking about in this particular video. And the message that they were trying to send in this one is that everything's good. Be happy. Don't worry. Don't let this virus or whatever get you down. Or I think that's what they're... Anyways, I think the message was completely lost, and it's just... I'm always surprised when so many followers.
You're so much better at parsing the meaning out of these songs, the songs that I am. Because I heard Dynamite many times through that song, but that's all I could get was Dynamite.
And I think that's because the rest of the song was just so poorly made. Should we go to the next? Oh, well, let's rate this. And you're not rating, you said.
I'm abstaining.
I think it's pretty obvious. I am giving this a solid one down without any doubt. I'm almost wanting to put a second one down, but I actually have seen worse videos, so I'm not going to give it two thumbs down, but it was pretty bad. And if you are one of these young people that enjoy this video, boy, you are going to be surprised someday when you actually watch a good video.
They won't know it when they see it. Some kids who grew up watching the Star Wars prequels before they saw the quote original three, you know, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
They think the prequels are good movies.
Oh, I know. They don't
know how to deal with you know, quote A New Hope, which was I don't know how to talk about these things. Episode quote 4, which was the first one released in 1978.
Right.
So the next one, La Noche de Anoche, which is probably probably very badly pronounced because I don't speak Spanish. I'm a terrible person in general, but that's that. By Bad Bunny and Rosalía.
Yeah, so for those of you that do not know who Bad Bunny is, he's a Puerto Rican rapper. And Rosalía is more of a... What's that?
I didn't know they had Puerto Rican rappers.
They're rappers.
Puerto Rican rappers?
They're rappers in every country on the planet. If you don't know that, James.
He wasn't rapping.
No. So, like a lot of rappers... rap music has really evolved over the years now, and it's moving into jazz. And so a lot of rappers start off doing the traditional poetry in rhythm to some kind of a electronic background. And what they want to do is eventually move into a singing career. What did you think of the song?
I liked it a lot better the second time when I ignored the, what the hell is that called? The captioning, when I didn't know what they were saying.
Oh, right.
But even then, I wasn't really all that happy with it. It seemed a little bit whiny to me.
Oh, I see.
And you telling me that this guy's a rapper makes it even less sense why he was walking around in a bathrobe and slippers.
Well,
it's not exactly the most masculine portrayal of a rapper.
No, I guess it's not. But the thing is, what's interesting about this particular song is there's a little bit of a romantic story behind it. So Bad Bunny, being from Puerto Rico, actually went to Los Angeles and almost like stalked Rosalie to try to figure out how to do a song with her and possibly, I can't say for sure, but it seems like he was pursuing her and he was successful and he managed to do what I call a low production video. As far as the video goes, and the amount of equipment for the low cost you can get. I mean, I think they almost had to search out bad equipment to film this video.
It wasn't that bad.
Come on, it was terrible.
I've seen worse, and some of the worst ones are still on those lists waiting to come.
Lighting was terrible. I mean, it didn't really go with the song, but I get the point of the song. They were trying to do something a little romantic, and I thought the romantic story, the kind of where he's pursuing you, I thought it was kind of a nice fitting match.
I have nothing to say about this video or this song. Totally nonplussed.
Well,
I do have one thing to say. It has 200 million views.
Now that's interesting. And I have to tell you, when we're looking at music, there's these big languages around the world. And so we have English, which is not, surprisingly, not the biggest language, but we have a lot of Spanish-speaking countries. And so when you're looking at the views and you're looking at like South America, the Caribbean, obviously United States, parts of Europe, I can see why they'd have so many views, because this is two pretty well-known singers coming together and you're pulling two audiences together. So I can see why they get a pretty big audience.
Okay.
Well, I don't really feel great about it. I thought the song was fine. I thought the video was terrible. So I'm not giving this a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I think it's kind of just, it's a thing to see and not necessarily need to see it again.
Yeah, the video seemed to me like it was a good way to take two beautiful young people and make them not look quite so beautiful.
You might be right about that.
So we're going to lump the next two together because they're both Indian. And apparently that's what we have to do.
No, we don't have to do that.
No, but, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. So but, the other two we're going to lump together because we're getting a little bit late on time. We're running a little long. And I didn't understand either of them. So it makes sense. Plus they basically have the same people in them. They are both from India. And I don't know where the names begin and where the titles begin. I am very much confused by what I'm seeing on the title line because it just keeps going and doesn't end. So the first one we'll just refer to as 52 because I know those numbers, at least I think I recognize those as being numbers. And the other one I think we'll just refer to as Vats Recording because that's the title of the video.
Okay, so with this is an Indian film, obvious, or Indian. This is an Indian music video. And India being one of the largest populations of the world, when they have a star, it's going to have a lot of views. What was the download or what was the viewership on that one?
Well, on the two of them, Chatak Matak, if I'm probably mispronouncing that badly, I think that's one of the singers. And I think the other main singer was Sapna Chaudhary.
Well, that beautiful female voice you heard in the song, Renuka Panwar, but there was a lot of other singers there, and there was obviously men singers in our 52 song.
And so one of the videos has 800 million views, and the other one only has 278 million views. Huh, that's weird. So it felt like one video started with the last one ended. Part of this is because since I don't speak Indian, is it Hindi? I don't know what the language is. I'm so stupid. I don't know what they're saying, so they're singing about. So I don't really see where one end and one begins. But my take on these videos is I like them because I like the beat, I like the sound, I like the pretty women and the vibrant colors.
This video I thought was typical of a lot of what you see in Indian film with a lot of dancing, a lot of bright colors. I really like this video. And I'm going to tell you the two big things I loved: the colorful dancing. And when I mean colorful, I mean the dancing very typical, but it was really well done. And the beautiful backdrops that they filmed at. I mean, they had some really nice, you know, India has very beautiful spots and often they're not shown. And so when they're doing this video and they're showing these elaborate backgrounds and obviously some staging going on there too, I thought it was really a beautifully put together video. I mean, there were some cheesy things with the cheesy turban and the big mustache and the woman shaking her rear end. But I thought it was really beautifully put together.
Well, it's funny you say that because it was actually my only criticism was the technical aspects of it, which I found to be somewhat lacking, especially in this first one, the 52. It sounded like the audio quality. So the singing part was perfect. But then they have some audio introduction where they have some characters talking to each other.
Oh, right.
And that sounded really rough. I mean, it sounded not any better than our podcast right now. And for a video that has 800 million views, I would expect a little bit more from that. Plus the camera work was a little bit wonky too. There's a lot of, if you're a photographer, you'll know what I'm talking about here. There was a lot of purple fringing. It's just they have some decent equipment, but it seems like the people who are using it don't know that much about how to use it properly.
And that may be true, but a lot of the shots that you saw are something typical you'd see in an Indian film. For example, the constant moving from one person singing to this replying of someone singing in a different location, and there's kind of like this singing conversation going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And I could clearly see there was a story going on. I just didn't know what it was. And that's fine too, obviously.
Yeah, and you're talking about the photo.
I'm just talking about the technical issues. You can take that same shot, but if you use a different lens or you compensate for it or something, or you don't take that shot because you know your lens can't deal with that kind of backlighting, It's just the technical details.
Yeah. The other big music video we're talking about is also Indian, and that's called Diverge. Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, it was so hard to get gather what the title of the song was. That one was just, the title of it was Vats Records.
Chitaka Mataka.
And all of what I said for the first one pretty much goes with the second one. I mean, of the music that we looked at, of the five music pieces that we looked at today, the two Indian pieces are pieces I wouldn't mind hearing again.
Well, the thing is about the second video, I thought it was so poorly shot. I mean...
Well, the first one, the 52, wasn't shot great. That's the one I was complaining with the purple. I mean, there were some shots that were just so overwhelming because they had a strong backlight. And the purple fringing, I mean, only photographers are going to see that, but any photographer is going to see that and just immediately, that's all they're going to be able to see because it was so strong.
I see what you're saying now.
And this stuff is okay, but this is like anybody can shoot this with their phone. The second one is better lit, but it's mostly inside, so you have more control over your lighting. Obviously, you know more than anyone that inside lighting is a lot easier to control than outside. I liked it. Like I said, I liked the beat. I liked the sound. I liked the singer's voices. I like the color. It did seem like both videos had a lot of traditional elements in it. Is this very representative of India where they haven't developed a lot of new styles?
Well, they have their own style. And I think what you're going to see, the thing is about the style, I've seen this style creeping into American choreography. I'm seeing a lot of pop videos. I don't even think they know who they're borrowing from because a lot of these videos, they hire a choreographer who obviously has been watching these Indian dances and has definitely borrowed it. Because when I'm watching today's pop videos, I'm seeing the dancing going on with the borrowing of the hand movements around the face. This is very typical of Indian dancing. And so, yeah, so these two videos are very typical Indian, but I think because Western music video producers are borrowing so much from it, I think it's going to start to feel like familiar to a Westerner.
So we watched a couple of Asian videos, and of course, seeing this reminds me of probably the most famous Asian video of all time, K-pop video of all time. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Gangnam Style by Psy.
Oh, right.
2012 is the year that we get one of South Korea's greatest gifts to mankind. A very funny video. I mean, this is the thing about that video. I don't know what they're saying in the video, but it's just so clearly a comedy parody of itself. And it sounded great. And it was super funny watching that video. And that of the, so I had to watch that one again, just because of what we were looking at, you know, international videos. And that still for me wins the contest.
I'd like to revisit this whole music video thing soon. Next time, let's focus on popular only in America, which it might still be the same group of people. I don't know.
So top five video music videos in America?
Yeah, in the States.
That sounds great.
Okay, let's do that. Well, this was a very entertaining and very very educational.
Yeah, for me, certainly. Thank you, Christopher.
All right. Hey, thanks for chatting with me. I'll talk to you soon, James.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pop Sub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact Pop Sub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?
Wonder where I'm going.
Pop Sub Cast. Pop Sub Cast. Pop Sub Cast.
Pop Sub Cast.
Pop Sub Cast. Pop Sub Cast.
What to do? Don't change you. That's too much work. Change your floor instead.
your floor again will be, that's GoRageousFlooring.com. GoRageousFlooring, G-O-R-A-G-E-O-U-S.com.